controversy around vaccines with a specific reference to the measles outbreak and the vaccine and problematic ingredients in that particular vaccine. And joining me in studio, we have Hafiz Huzaifa Khan. He's a pharmacist. He's also with the Islamic Medical Association. He's the representative. Hafiz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakumullah for your time.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah to you and to the listeners for giving us this opportunity.
And joining us on the line from Durban, we have Professor Mohsin Ibrahim. He is at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. He specializes in comparative religion. He's also a doctor of philosophy. Professor Mohsin, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran for having me on your show.
All right, Hafiz Huzaifa, if I can start with you. This latest controversy or confusion, what happened, and in summary, how did it play out?
Okay, so basically, with regards to the measles vaccine, it is part of the immunization schedule, so most children should be getting it. But from January, there's actually been an outbreak. It started in the Western Cape, and it has moved to the Gauteng region. The first cases were noted in the south of the Gauteng region. And over the past, the past 2 months, there's actually been reported 37 cases in the Gauteng region. Now, generally, if there's more than 3 cases, it's regarded as an outbreak in a specific community. And with, with 37 cases, this is actually quite a major outbreak, especially in the Johannesburg Gauteng region. So the government decided to go on a measles vaccination campaign. It's proven scientifically that with herd immunity, if you immunize more than 90% of a community, we are able to actually get rid and prevent the further spread of the measles virus. So what has actually happened is that the government is on a campaign. And once the campaign started, there was concerns raised as people looked into the package insert and noticed that it contains porcine gelatin.
Mm-hmm.
When the government was contacted concerning this, the issue came up that why aren't they using the other vaccine which was previously used, the Ruvax? So the government actually last year sent out a statement that the company who makes Ruvax has discontinued the supply of Ruvax. Therefore, the government is unable to do a mass immunization with the Ruvax, and hence they needed to get a new vaccine. The only other vaccine available is a single measles vaccine, which is the MeesBio vaccine, which does contain porcine gelatin. And this actually caused the confusion in the community and in different areas with regards to the measles
vaccine. So how long has the government been using this vaccine? I would assume it was before this outbreak of measles a few weeks ago.
Yes, in fact, with regards to the statement issued by the Institute of Communicable Diseases, the vaccine was brought onto the market from January this year.
There's this big debate as to whether there is an alternative or not. I see some are saying that there are doctors who have an alternate vaccine that doesn't contain the porcine or the pork ingredient.
Okay, yes. The alternative that's just measles alone, measles vaccine alone, is Ruvax. So, like I stated, that the Ruvax has been discontinued by the company Sanofi. With regards to this Ruvax, currently what's on the market, in fact, within the group that I work there, we do have a small amount of these vaccines available. So what's on the market is what's currently there.
There's not the last supply.
It's basically the last supply.
So what's the IMS position? So you've got a measles outbreak, and the outbreak aside, normally parents are encouraged to give the measles vaccine to their children at a particular age. There's only this one vaccine that's widely available. It's got this porcine or pork content in it. How would you advise?
Okay, so with regards to the Islamic Medical Association, the official stance is that the Islamic Medical Association is promoting vaccination. That's the first thing, that there's no debate about it. It's promoting vaccination. The first thing is that if parents can afford and if patients can afford, then they should actually try to firstly get the Ruvax, the alternative measles vaccine, right? The second thing is there is combination measles vaccines such as the MMR, which contains measles, mumps, and rubella, which is now at a higher price. The Ruvax alone starts at a price of approximately 200 rand, plus minus. And then you do get other, the combination ones, which are at a higher price. So that makes it difficult in that it's not easy for everyone to afford. So the first option is, like we say, to go for one of the alternatives which do not contain the porcine gelatin. The second thing is that where communities are able to assist those who are less fortunate and who cannot afford it, the community should try to get together. Possibly, you know, different institutions can get together and promote, you know, getting these products that do not contain porcine gelatin. And in circumstances where it's not not possible to get the non-porcine vaccines, then our advice is that the patients should use the porcine gelatin one.
Okay. Let's get Professor Ibrahim into the discussion at this point. Professor Ibrahim, can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm sure you have been observing this debate in social circles and social media. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've always been for vaccination because I think as Muslims we are responsible. Our bodies is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our children, you know, it's our... We have to safeguard them from whatever problems that may arise in their life. So we are responsible to them also. So it is important that we vaccinate them, and I always stood for that. And I think if we look at the Sunnah of the Prophet, he is very particular about taking care of our bodies. And the more we take care of our bodies, the more we'd be in a position to fulfill the faraid of Islam. And this is important for us. So the children, we have to take care of them. If you have to be vaccinated, we vaccinate them. So I think that is the point. Now, the question of porcine element in it, our brother pharmacist has explained very nicely about if you can afford it, if you can afford it, then you go for the vaccination that doesn't have porcine element in it. But then if you can't, then you are perfectly in order to take that one with the porcine element in that. So there's nothing wrong with that. As far as 1995, we had so many scholars that met in Kuwait, and they already resolved the problem that, you know, you are not actually consuming pork, you know, by doing that. So if by the time it's transformed, the transformation takes place, and so we have porcine gelatin. So they feel that it is perfectly in order for all of us, observant Muslims, to be vaccinated, or do they have porcine gelatin in them.
Now, Prof, what about the South African scholars? Have you studied the viewpoints of different South African scholars with regards vaccines in general, A, and B, with regards vaccines that would have ingredients such as porcin?
You see, now, the problem we have, it's very difficult to get a consensus of ulama. We have to agree. I mean, we're not able to. There will always be dissenters. So... there are some people who don't even believe in vaccination at all, you know. So what can we do? We cannot force them to change their position. That is what they believe in. But the problem is, if you believe in that, and the harm is that if you tell your followers not to vaccinate, this is where the problem is. You may, as an individual, not favor vaccination, but you cannot impose it on people. And there's no, we are not being educated. It is important that our ulama be educated, and this is where the doctors and the pharmacists should come in. They should call a meeting of the ulama and then address this problem, explain to them all the intricacies of this vaccine and why it is important for us to have our children vaccinated, so that the message, when it goes out to them from the ulama, it will be even stronger, that they will be able to, that we do it, I mean, gives an opinion, then they might go to the Maulana, and the Maulana say, no, we don't agree with that. So they, you see, they are in a dilemma. They don't know what to do. But I want to remove the dilemma and say that, please, Muslim parents, go ahead, have you vaccinated, have your children vaccinated, and do not fear that you're doing something against the commandments of Allah.
Yeah.
What I want to commend the South African Muslims is that, you see, what happens is that the pharmaceuticals have to be made aware of the fact that they have to now try and devise, and they have already devised something, but make it more affordable, those vaccination that do not have porcine gelatin in them, make it more affordable. That is a good thing that has happened, is that now, inshallah, the pharmaceuticals will take that on.
Now, obviously, Jose, if I can bring you back in here, one thing that seems to have happened was that there was this specific concern about the measles vaccine that had poison in it. But then the debate seemed to have gone in the direction of those who believe that vaccinations in general are not a good idea. They believe that it's more harmful than beneficial. Then there are those who believe about a lab somewhere in some part of the world where vaccines were developed to harm Africans. What would you say to people with those apprehensions, with those fears?
Okay, firstly, I think if you have to look at the scientific evidence, I think the one thing is that we're comfortably living today with, you know, due to the effects of vaccine saving millions of lives previously. If you have to look, nowadays you don't hear of children dying of smallpox, of chickenpox, of measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, pertussis, but these were common diseases not too long ago. And the reason why these diseases have, to a certain extent, been basically been eradicated is due to the effect of vaccines. In fact, there was a recent study done in Spain just around the 2000s, 2003 or so, of a re-emergence of measles in Spain, particularly in a specific region of Spain. And when the study was done, it found that the reason why measles re-emerged in that area of Spain was due to non-vaccination. And when there's herd vaccination, for example, vaccinations given to more than 90% of the population, it stops the eradication of the it stops the spread of the measles virus. So, in fact, if you have to look at the scientific evidence based from the time of smallpox, it clearly indicates that, you know, with the vaccination, we actually are able to eradicate. So there are questions about autism and, you know, whether this is, you know, something to control the Africans and, you know, in other regions, in other populations. But if you have to look at the evidence, it's been used in the Americas, it's been used in Europe also, and it has had a great effect on the population.
What about those? I've heard one person say, but okay, so what's the big deal? You get measles, many of us got measles in the past, and then you take the medication and you recover.
Okay, so with regards to measles, firstly, measles is a virus that's easily spread. So it's spread by coughing, sneezing, or coming into close contact. So yes, some people might recover fully from having a bout of measles. But once you have measles, you easily become someone who can spread it to others. So your immune system might be good and you might be able to combat the measles virus. But there might be someone, for example, the most vulnerable of society is babies, right? So with babies, if you go and you play with someone else's child, someone else's baby, the effect that it has on them, because the immune system is not fully developed in babies, in cancer patients, and in other patients who have other diseases that compromise the immune system, it puts them at a greater risk of actually developing complications. So with babies, there's actually brain infections, lung infections that are possible.
Yeah.
And even at times, babies do succumb to death because of measles.
Now, we've spoken about this measles vaccine that has this ingredient which is deemed problematic poison. Are there other vaccines which are being given generally that also have problematic ingredients?
Currently, not as majorly, because the porcine used in this one is a stabilizer. Mm-hmm. So with a lot of the other vaccines, they have some other stabilizers, or they mix differently, so they are able to be stable. But porcine is used in many medical formulations. So even in certain chronic medications that patients take, and even at times when patients are in hospital and various drugs are administered to them while they are laying in hospital, there are non-halal ingredients, sometimes porcine and sometimes other ingredients, which are used on patients. And due to the fact that some of these are life-saving, patients need to take them.
And lastly, when the IMA formulates its position, like you've articulated early on, did they consult with ulama locally?
Yes, in fact, with regards to the specific one, when the query came to the Islamic Medical Association first, the Islamic Medical Association did actually refer it back to the ulama. But as Professor has mentioned, that due to the various difference of opinions amongst the ulama, none of the ulama were able to actually, in fact, we actually referred this to ulama bodies, and they were unable to give a conclusive stance, and they actually referred parents and patients back to the Islamic Medical Association. So that's when the Islamic Medical Association came out with their statement in consultation with ulama, and also, as Professor has mentioned, from the 1995 conference which was held, where that statement was released. So we took various evidences from various ulama and scientific and medical evidence to come to our conclusion. So we did consult with ulama also.
Professor Ibrahim, coming back to you just to conclude, what are some of your concluding remarks on this whole issue?
No, my concluding remarks is that it is very important that we have our children vaccinated, and then that is, it would be in the light of the of fulfilling the five objectives of the Sharia. For example, when the Sharia speaks about preservation of the deen, if we have healthy children, they grow up to be able to observe the faraid, but if they are sick, there is a problem. And then also about the other objective is the preservation of life and health, and that is important. So by having our children vaccinated, as our pharmacist has mentioned, you know, you're actually preserving their life and their health. And then thirdly, you know, it's what is important to, you know, also is as parents, we all have a duty towards our children, so the preservation of progeny, you know, so we have it vaccinated. And just let you know that we I come from a family which have 10 children, my mother and father have 10 children, six brothers and four sisters. Now my father remembered to have all of us vaccinated against polio and forgot the youngest one when he was born. The first one was born in the 1940s. When he came to the youngest one, he forgot. And my youngest brother was affected with polio. So you see, that is something for us to think about.
Okay.
And then the other thing is the preservation of the apple. So if, as the pharmacist mentioned, if everyone knows, you know, that everyone out there is vaccinated, over 90%, so we can live in peace and, you know, unworried that, you know, people with cancer patients, old people, you know, would be also sick if there's a, you know, if everyone else have been vaccinated against the vaccine-preventable diseases.
All right.
And finally, the question of preservation of wealth. You know, the government is rolling out, you know, 650,000 of these vaccinations. That is also, so we don't have to actually pay for that. But as the pharmacist mentioned, the IMA has mentioned that if you can afford it, you want to use alternative measles vaccine, then you can go ahead. But what happens is that if they fall sick, then putting, you know, strain on the financial muscle of the family will be even worse, you see. So I therefore urge each and every parent to have their children vaccinated.
Professor Ibrahim, jazakumullah for your time this morning. Much appreciated. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Last question of Zuzaifa from one of our listeners, that if they've done the usual set of vaccines when the child was young, is that sufficient, or is this vaccine something that you need to do over and above?
Okay, with regards to the measles vaccine, it does give immunity, but it is always better to get a booster dose, especially when there's herd vaccination happening. For example, this major vaccination campaign, it is better because it does give a booster dose which assists in the immunity. So it would be better to actually get vaccinated again.
Alright, jazakumullah for your time this morning.
Ameen, jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Hafiz Huzaifa Khan, a pharmacist and a representative of the Islamic Medical Association, and Professor Mohsin Ibrahim, both of them saying that vaccines in general are something that you need to consider for your children, because it's beneficial, it protects against many of these illnesses. With regards to this particular vaccine that has porcine, a pork ingredient, if you can afford the alternative and you can get it, obviously that's better. If not, you still take it, because there are those scholars who say that it has been transformed, it's not the same as consuming pork, and there are those who say that due to circumstances and because it's a necessity and there are no alternatives, then it would be permissible to take it as well.